So I look in that a little tweet that edifies. Amen.
Hold on, hold someone's hand and let's pray. Say this word, our Father.
In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that coming to God.
And so that's walking in honor.
We're walking in the light of the revelation that is found in the written word. Every day, we live in the cult of honor.
No dropping the scale at any point in our lives. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and forever. Amen. Glory to God. So looking at honor. Honor. A little gist on honor. And this should be the third. This is the third session we're having on it. Hope to quickly round up by next week, if not today. Hallelujah. On honor. There's a little gist that edifies around it. No, okay, bless you. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. From verses 18.
Let's keep some of the intro, because we need to achieve a whole lot of feats today. Matthew 28, from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go there and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. To the end of the world. Now, that's something we'll begin to delve into a bit as we get closer to So, when you look at Mark 16, Mark 16 says, Jesus came and said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be dead. And this time shall follow them that believe. Now, we said that Mark dwelt with the entering into discipleship. Now, that this will be God's instruction in the scriptures. God starts in the earth. I would say God's facts in here is, if you look at Timothy, he summarized Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together, the closing remarks of Jesus, he summarized it together in 1 John chapter 3, he said that all men be saved. You see that? All men be saved. And come to the knowledge of the truth. That is, being born again and discipleship. Hallelujah. So I said to us that God doesn't just want you to get men saved. Now, here is where the main work is. The main work is discipleship. Amen. That is where the rigor of a faithful servant of Jesus is. Amen. How is that the rigor is? That's how you deal with men. I say it all. Glory to God. You know, people can, you can go out and just preach. Don't do all with them. You know, one time like that, a younger
minister, not a young minister, because I'm young too. A younger minister approached me and said, sir, what is
doing some crying early in the morning to preach the gospel, I said.
Oh,
I'm not saying, neither am I saying those who do it are wrong. I like people that do it, and I think that's the one that pushed the right.
But I have this, give them the truth.
The way we are taught, maybe because of our evangelism, and this sharing, one day I'm going to take few people, and we'll do few people, and I hope to do that.
Especially leaders or those in Rima, you have to learn how to do evangelism by going into people's house and knocking. That's how it's taught. I'm telling you. You might hear, no, please, get out!
Yes, it happens. But you know. So this other preacher They ran after me. I said, this is many recovery. I said, there's no place where you are told to go and not to be in spirit. You are told to meet people when you are enabling to the world. Now, he used the word for the world of men. Amen.
I love the way a preacher said it. He said, to every man's world.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we get this kind of understanding of the gospel, you will see why it's more, preaching the gospel is more combative. More combative. As in, to take up with people. It's not to the end. It's to people. Amen. And we run through the book of Acts, from Acts chapter number 1. We saw, I mean from Acts 2, sorry. The first time they had, evangelism, you know, Acts 2. And then what all through, they had specific people they were talking to. They were not just talking to the end. They had specific people they were ministering. And those, because if you were not doing to the air, you wouldn't be able to record the number that they were recording. Amen. They could, because they were speaking to specifics. So they had them join church. Tickets. They had them join church. What are they? For whatever you are. And you are the other son of my God, you want to be born again? You are born again now. And you don't have precious. Is that? But when you see that, yes, what? So that means it's more, he said it. He said, so that means it's more personal and he used another word, I'm trying to look for it. But the word that sounds like it's harder. Because I knew within me that that young guy was trying to run away from the rigor. Just listen to it. He said, preach the gospel. Right? Right? Make disciples. Make disciples. Amen. So that's the rigor. I told someone. That's what you deal with this. You will meet different kinds of men. Hallelujah. And then you have to tailor God's word. Not only just tailor God's word. Yeah, like that. But you have to teach that person God's word. Right? Right? That, you know, answering many times questions that is in their heart. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus went, Jesus, Paul went to a place where they were serving the unknown God. You see that? They were serving the unknown God. And then he ministered salvation to them. He ministered God's word to them from that inscription. So they are putting it together. No, is that not from God? Amen? That's what he said to me. Go. And then this will be God's instruction in the scriptures. We'll call the Great Commission. And I said, if you are in this place and you are not yet actively involved in soul winning and discipleship, you are walking in disobedience. Paul said, I want to be disobedient in Acts 6. He said, oh Agrippa, King Agrippa, say, I'm not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So there's the heavenly vision. So not to be involved in this actively. You're going to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. This is the heavenly vision. You don't outgrow this. I'll let someone yesterday, just saw someone say she has grown out of Christ. She said we want to be. She has outgrown. How can she outgrow to Jesus? You are just inside and you backslide. It's backsliding. You are backsliding. Amen? Backslide, don't you backslide? It shows, it comes with tenacity. When somebody you have invested in and invested in this, you are coming to see the person you have discovered after like 1 month of doing discipleship. How the place you believe this person was never his house. Person sees you and takes off. Takes off on you and he yeah, and Pastor Shepard shared with us how there was someone like that. He had been discipling. Discipling. That was coming to church. So one day, he didn't see the person for a while. Like 2 weeks. Then went to look for the person. Lo and behold, he now saw the person. Know what the person was doing? All the more. when it was bad news, no mama, you know. It's not. Surely, I call London. Is this not your best? Thank you. Okay, thank you. Blessing is small, but taking the woman, taking Ghana weed. I say, you know, when you see that kind of thing, you don't think of all your investments. Then you build tenacity. Amen. You give tenacity. You know, at the back, is your pastor telling you, okay, where are your souls? I go, you want to have an investment? What do you need, bro? How will you give that to us? You ask me, you ask me. Lies there, you say, ah, pastor. Pastor, I need those ones to see me. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, only investing money, just put the $10 back and taking Coke. Not Coca-Cola. Coke is the short form from cocaine. And you think the president, great and big that is in you. Well, not that what I used to say years ago. I'm high on the motor. The person is getting high on coke. And your father like that. You're not mad at it. People for same family church. That is where you build. That is where the rigor is. And that is where your consistency will show. Amen. Your consistency will show. It's true. That have to be consistent. Doing it. There is never a time in the life of a believer, whether you get to 90 or 100 years, that you stop soul winning and disciples. Which is consistent. Amen. There's never a time in the life of a believer where you or she should stop. There's never a time. You should never. So when you do that, you become prosperous. Okay, and be careful of substituting this for arguing scriptures. I see something? You don't turn it to arguing scriptures. No, it's not arguing scriptures. Gethsemane said, ah, Lord. Okay, then they are rigorous to it. Ah, and you still lead them. Listen, you will still win soon. You still follow them up. You will still listen to message. You will still be active in the work of ministry. Oh, and then together everything. You must still be active. You must still come for prayer meeting. You see that? So, being a laborer in the Lord's vineyard is you are losing yourself for others. We've seen that pattern in Jesus. For God so loved the world. So, you have your own problems. Oh, you think as a pastor, I don't have my problems. You have no problems. But you know what? You want to see another person smile. You are carrying on other people's problems as your problem. Amen? Glory to God. Amen? So if you have seen someone that has their eye in the wall, you want to run away from them. Take note of that.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to read from this.
No. Let's see a few things.
So, you know, it's very vital. You look at this very well. So, we're looking at Christian virtues. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Glow.
Oh, something I skipped here. I said there. Now, he also tells us how this discipleship should be carried out. He says teaching.
Hallelujah. Like we're doing teaching. So we said the whole activity of the believer is tied to how he or she is being taught. and how he receives what he or she has been taught. The whole life is the ultimate believer. How the believer lives his life is tied to how he's taught, he or she is taught, and he or how he or she receives what he or she is taught.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Over to God. Over to God.
So,
wait.
Culture. Okay, so how you are taught is very vital.
I
am. You know, on Sunday, we kept talking about how to weather the storm.
Hallelujah. So we looked at that again before. How to weather the storm. But you know what? Storms will come.
Amen.
Storms will come. But storms must not change your conviction.
Must never change your conviction.
Hallelujah. So we're not looking at culture of honor. The culture of honor as a Christian, as a Christian virtue. The culture of honor as a Christian virtue.
So what do we define honor to be? Say honor is from that word timae, which means to treat sacred, to treat priceless, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So ask the question, you honor who God has placed his honor on.
Hallelujah.
You honor who God has placed his honor on.
I would say, critically, God has placed his honor on his men. His men. Right? And I said, his men, fellow believers, and your pastor.
Fellow believers, and your pastor. Yeah. You know, many times when people hear honor, they think it's just for pastors. Amen. And I'm trying as much as I can to play down the pastor.
For a reason. Not that I'm playing it down. I've taught you about honoring your pastor, right? But let's even talk about the one that people overlook, fellow believer.
Bible says double honor be given to the one who labors in word and in doctrine. You get double honor. Very important.
But very important also is honoring fellow believers. Honoring fellow believers. We saw that. Honoring fellow believers.
You know, pray that we tend, we might tend to get too much familiar and we don't follow them. Amen. I will not follow them.
But we're going to see some of that today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We say we also honor the gathering.
You see that?
You honor the gathering because God has put his honor on the gathering.
We also honor spiritual activities like prayer, worship of God.
You honor those times. Amen.
Amen.
Now, something else we also saw. Now, when I say fellow believers, not only fellow believers in Saints Pavilion Church, right? Believers all over, you must learn to honor them.
How you see them is important. Amen. How do you treat believers who are not going to church? You begin to see when you bring age in your Christian life, age, you're already in the honor. What do I mean? Amen. When I mean age, whether I was to honor this brother because I'm older than you, that you need to be able to honor you. What they are you?
No.
No.
Once you begin to
have that argument with your sentiment with your age,
you're not going to be enough. What are you following me? You mustn't do that. You don't have honor. Fellow believer. You honor them. Glory to God. Glory to God. You respect them, right? Now, something else we said, I'm just giving us
an overview, then we'll get into some future. Sure. In that you also honor your parents. We know that God has placed his honor on your parents. You honor your parents. You honor your parents.
You honor
Authorities. You honor authorities. And also you honor elders.
Elders. Just in better perspective, you honor everybody. Amen. Honor everybody.
Glory to God.
Honor people. Honor people. Honor means to treat with respect.
To honor people. Treat with respect.
I was to write to my alumni
just this morning.
I was writing to them, my alumni. And then I said, good afternoon, sir. And man said, somebody asked the question and I said, oh, not true, sir. The person responded.
Responded immediately. Please, we are the same sex. Stop calling me, sir. That person said, ah, you don't look smart yet. You don't look smart yet. I saw it, sir. I choose to call you, sir.
Amen. He said it's who are you don't look smart man. You think he doesn't smart of stand and sit? Glory to God. Don't know me then. Glory to God. Everybody is sad.
Glory to God. You don't take anything out of the book. Just treat people with respect. Treat people with respect. Hallelujah. Treat them with respect.
You honor people. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's see something for fellow believers. That's what we are talking about today. A little gist on honor. So my focus is actually on fellow believers. But I have to show you other things that you understand.
Amen. Amen. Who are you? Are you on the half of your faith? Are you on the half of God? But should I respect you? Amen. 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 What is talking to someone who wants to be you? You want them.
Verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another. Talking about brother now. Say with brotherly love. Say in honor, preferring one another. Do you see that? In honor,
preferring one another. So honor means I have to prefer another. Prefer one another. Esteeming one another. Esteeming people.
Esteeming
people.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. With love. With love. And if there's something you must never miss, it is the fact that God uses men. And the men that He uses are free men. Men in their strength.
Men in their strength.
They have their shortfalls. Men that have shortfalls. They have lapses. Yes, God will use them. And He expects that you treat them well. Obey me. God will use them. And take note, you cannot tell God who to use. Amen. God uses men. Believers and non-believers.
He uses even non-believers to help you. Don't abuse assets. Don't abuse privilege. I say it always. Never abuse privilege. Many times privilege is abused. is that privileges you can never get again. Those are big privileges.
Oh, yeah,
don't!
Don't be careless. Don't be. Don't abuse. Stop using. Don't abuse privileges.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So we're not looking at what can affect how I see people. Did you say that?
You said number one is what? Number one is what? Information. Amen? Number one is information.
What information do you have about people, about the things God has placed this honor on? What information do you have about it? And we saw how powerful information is. Proverbs 4:23.
Is it incline your ears to my saying?
Is it
Proverbs 4. I'm missing those scriptures together. Two scriptures are about colliding in my head. Verses 23, yes. I'm reading 22-23. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to my saying. 20-21. Let them depart out of thy eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life. They are life to them that find it, and health to all their flesh. So keep their heart with all diligence. So out of it are the issues that govern life.
Or out of it are the issues of life.
Amen.
Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. That is how to guard your heart from information.
Informations are very vital. So you guard your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Guard your heart.
Be careful of the information you let in about supernatural, about the supernatural gathering of believers.
Hallelujah.
Mind what you let in.
Don't even allow information of joke about the gathering, about people, about believers, about your pastor. Don't allow even joke of it around you.
God made that God used.
Some people like joke, but don't allow it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also for fellow brethren, don't allow it. There are things you don't joke about.
As a spiritual activity, you don't joke about things wrong. Don't joke about God. Don't joke about God. That's spiritual activity. Don't joke about prayer. Okay. Don't joke about joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't joke about it. Yes. Don't say nasty things about it. Mind what you hear about it.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's very vital. How you treat those things matter. How you treat people matter. Nobody hearing me? How you treat people matter. The information you hear about them, very vital.
And I use the expression of someone. Let's say you don't know someone is exactly. So what would happen if they are there? Maybe as you're walking on the street, you jab yourself by mistake. You say, you're people. And it's all bad. Who are you? What's your problem? You know, look at this short thing. Can't you see you? Why are you blind? You know people are like that. Right, you have no information about it. But imagine you take like 5 cents, I'm gonna say, you don't make us a walk. You don't stop the language. You know how you feel. Right? You know how you feel. Cold water, why? You do not have that conversation with you for them. That is a matter of you. That's what I'm saying. Imagine you are not walking, but you have that information like that is down, you are just jumping. Maybe stop back. Ah, you saw it there. You know what you would do if you know that was his main man, so it would be different. You go and say, yeah. Information. You don't need that, the key is so Why information? There's something that is doing what? Causing that.
Right? Right?
No way,
no. Amen. Let's wrong information about the rich man of God. This will listen to this one. I'm not saying the youth, the dog that make that information. And I just have
You will not see me, oh! You will not see me and my family that covered with the blood of Jesus.
What is causing that information? Listen that.
How can I see that? Information also. So information is powerful. So you mind the information you keep about fellow believers,
about sacred activities,
about the gathering of believers.
About people. You mind what you keep on the show, you keep about it. Hallelujah. So even about your country, we really need to know about our country's hardship and hardness.
Every day your mom is $20, you don't have a dollar.
Why? Why are you monitoring dollar? You don't have a dollar.
You know that just going up, you know,
so far.
And he's quiet.
Amen. People are catching up with them. For you, the bad one, you are here, the bad information.
Keep it. Keep it. Bad one. When people are already changing their salary account to dollar. Vital also will be, what do you call them? What do you call fellow believers?
See, I want to discourage you guys.
Yes.
The one that I call Benjamin Benji doesn't mean you should see when I say Benji. Amen? Amen? Because I call wisdom.
Let me tell you an illustration. Let me give you an illustration.
No! What made you do? If you want as fast, how do you see his name on your phone? You know the guy's number. You're not there. You know who called Benji. You know who sent that Benji.
No, now.
Amen? If you want to put his name on your phone as your Benji. See, who goes that far?
It means that, see, your access to that sister, your access to that brother is access to not only to pastor.
What are you telling me?
It's access.
When you talk about access, it's not only to pastor, it's to one fellow believers also. You're moving with unity.
What are you telling me?
You're moving. You must learn to see people with reverence. leadership, believers, people with reverence. The fact that you are talking to Kenshaw doesn't mean you have not more in access you have to him. It's not that you have access to Koike, in access. That doesn't mean on your phone.
You don't save his name as Ike. No! You save his name, bro. Ikechukwu.
Say it in full. If you can't say it fully, bro, please, can you say your name better? Simple. Amen?
Amen.
He is a pastor. Put his name, Pastor Ikechukwu. It's reverend. Come and help me. Bishop Han will see them.
That's problem. Amen. When I was at home and then she was calling,
Ayo. Is she okay? No. Don't you know? Yeah. I didn't know how to go out to die. Call her auntie.
Amen. You got that here now. Glory to God. You must learn how to respect people. How do you say their names on your phone? How do you say your pastor name? Instead of Pastor Wisdom, you put PSTR. Don't abbreviate it. Tell it to you. It's important. You don't know the import of that.
You don't know the import of that. I'm a brother, called a pastor, you change his name on your phone. Pastor, okay. Move it immediately.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So we now say Apostle Simeon, say Apo, APO, Apo Tim Baptist. Who knows that? I'll just give you an example.
No. Amen. Put it there.
Amen. Be careful. Now you don't fall. I told you guys, there's something called familiarity trap. Now you think. Now let me tell you the what familiarity trap does. You think it's just my G, just my G. You know when you it will hit you. When familiarity hits you is when you now have to receive from that person. You will not be able to receive. That person now has a word for you, very vital. And because of the way you see that person, you can't receive the word. You know, there's a way I give you a word. You hold it so there, as you are going, you are praying with this man.
And somebody gives you the same word. Maybe you can't be here, man, gives you the same word. And because of that familiarity, you won't hold it there as in the headband. Did you see that? That's what familiarity can do. I give you a word. And you are going home and you are praying all night. Amen. But just give me a word. Ah, it's too easy. I'm not taking you to do anything. I'm just giving an example. Ah! If you call me the next day, I will tell you the word with one person. Sure about that. How understand how you're supposed to be a good leader. But when familiarity sets in, you know that
tomorrow she will repeat the wrong one.
You think so? So she gives you the word.
You record it. You don't play it after 1 year. What is the difference? Familiarity.
Okay, I see that. Familiarity. That's what familiarity is. I know what. In that message you recorded for 1 year, you don't listen to it. It's actually God's word to you for that time. That you don't listen to it. You have allowed familiarity to gain you. Okay, Nina. That's gained you. I don't want to know my life, but that one is familiarity trap. You don't know. It's familiarity trap. That's why we never even walk with it. It is familiarity trap. Now put them in another shoe. Imagine the person that gave you the same word. Who played with that? Familiarity trap.
It can, see, familiarity trap can be very subtle. Very subtle.
But you're already in that trap. Amen. 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 Someone lays hands on you. You are not feeling bad. Imagine people that lays hands on you. Baby, I love you. I'm in the name of Jesus. Oh, the healing power of God is working in me. He represents the cure. Oh, and then. Let me lay hands on you because you are so familiar. You don't walk together. You come up together. You don't talk together. You come up together. Now lay hands on you. Ha!
I believe in Jesus' name.
Please, Father, then
we can also take drugs.
It's familiarity. But you are dancing it with power that you can also use drugs. Did you see that? Familiarity. It can be something. But you know, it can be something. You can fully do that job anyway. When I believe that God is true, that's why I want to believe it. But this time,
can be very subtle. You won't even know in familiarity. You won't even know. We want to see somebody right now. His name is called Saul.
It can be very subtle.
It's no match.
Yeah, yeah.
The very powerful is working.
You know, the power is working because you used to also...
Yeah.
You know that you are wrong with God, you are better familiar with God. And the wisdom lays hands on you. And what are they saying? I'm healed! The power of God is working! It's working!
And then you take it up from there and the pain is at God. What's the difference?
One you are using, the other one is familiar. I'm teaching you that you know how to receive from one another. Beyond church. Beyond see on the road and the person gives you a word. And you know how to take it. You know what to do next. Why? Because you are not more than you are to come. What are you doing? But you are not there!
Go with the girl. Go with the girl. So how you save them is too important.
Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory.
Another thing, don't call your pastor by his name.
I just have to mention it. Don't call your pastor by his name. If, let's say the three of them are here, and you want to talk to your pastor, everybody do call. Don't call and say, call your pastor. Look for Pastor Vicky. The three of them know who their members are. And they know who is your pastor. Adi? So the pastor, and if you don't understand it, Vicky will know.
And
me. Amen? Otherwise, you have to call the pastor that is not my pastor. But I will talk to you. You can call him. Amen? Amen? Let you remove the pastor from your heart. Amen? Look at that. Amen? Only then he will say that to which pastor told you that, oh, Pastor Garibay, that is important. Right?
Is it Christian?
No,
intelligent, right?
Amen. Understand that fact. Don't call your pastor's name. Your pastor's by name. And don't call, let maybe the last time, don't call any brother or sister by name. Amen. Amen. By whatever I mean by name first. Put bro or sis. As and in the culture must all adapt.
Even to Sister Jasmine. Don't say Jasmine. Amen. I'm not joking now. Amen. Because she's from the poor. She's gonna have a senior. She's gonna have a senior that she's gonna have a baby boy. And you know the day, I got the day. You know, this is where people are from Nigeria. They are. Sophia. Sophia. From a city girl. You that used to make noise in the church when you were small. Union, but you have to change that resources. Then you know that she is a sister. Ah, amen. You are helping yourself to bless the world.
You understand? Amen. How about that? Hey, don't sound so much. Very right, that. True. Father Dixon goes home and says,
ah, Sister Jasmine. You don't have that one here too. She's a sister, sure.
Why don't you run for her?
But then you must say after the sister, Sister Jasmine.
Then you'll be able to disciple her when she begins to come of age. Not that this is a young girl, Sister Jasmine. That's the one. Amen.
Amen. Another thing I said that can affect our follower is,
let me call the number to you. But I have time. Oh, no.
Beware of position. It can affect your follower. Position. Money.
And
affluence,
position, money and affluence.
Yeah, you can. I was going to see practical examples on scripture. Hallelujah. 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 Some people, the reason why, okay, not from church yet, but I've already seen some people get into some certain positions in life. Maybe get into some certain organization. Get into some certain, maybe they get a lot of money. Then they get a lot of money. Well, then,
Then money.
Come up to the back. Then you go to the
same. No. You just throw all the way into the wind. Oh! Oh my God. Money solves madness.
You are the one who
is the same.
Why you do that?
You don't work in this world because of what? Small money. Something that solid teaching will make you see is the fact that a believer must understand that we must be ready for storms. There are cases in life.
People who are into business have bad times. People that are working have times in life. Where they are busy. Once you're working for someone, you don't know business. As long as you know your business, then you are sad or you start yourself. Bad will happen.
If you're not prepared for this, then you're not prepared for storm. And now one now happens. And you don't miss something for 1 month. You don't have to drink it.
You know what happened? I lost my job. No reason. You're not prepared for the storm. You are allowed to drop. Yes, like I was saying, it's not your diary. You understand? You're allowed to drop. Yes, it's not you. You don't get to that point. You don't get to that point. You must be a master of the storm like your father is.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. You must learn to master the storm. But some people allow positions, affluence, money. They no longer respect anybody again. When I said anybody again, your work step has changed. Because you now started earning what people have earned and forgotten. Because now I bought a car. I wanted to mention Lexus, but let me pick the Lexus for today. Now I bought a RAV4.
You are now chief Jebediah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Glory to God. My friend shared a story of someone who used to go to church. I guess it was the guy used to go to church. Very committed member. All of a sudden, he now got a job where he now earning big money. He now stopped going to church. And then he's sending money to church. Maybe if he stays at a million church, he will return your money back. Not even try. He will return your money. Amen. And then sending money to church. All of a sudden, they never let him back in church.
What happened? What happened?
And then discovered that he had a terminal illness. I remember the word.
Amen. But when he had money, he didn't care about anybody. Dishonor the gathering. Don't go like that. You will make the flimsy excuse. Why you shouldn't be in church? Or before you go to that place, well, you cannot make that money. You had time for church. No, it shouldn't be that way. Amen. You are dishonoring the gathering. Now have money. No longer come from India.
Say, G. B.
Your pastor.
Because of money. We have someone like that. Let's quickly look at him. His name is called Saul. Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 13. I'll take 1 Samuel 13. Then 1 Samuel 16. I'll give you a rundown of what happened here. 1 Samuel 13. Amen. Now, the Israelites were to go to war with the Philistines, but they were supposed to wait to offer a sacrifice. Is that? Wait to offer a sacrifice before they go out. So information got to them that the Philistines were already encamping around, but the procedure is that you must wait for the priest to offer the what? To offer the what? Now, first of all, who is Saul? Saul is the king. Before Saul became king, Saul was a very humble guy. When I mean humble, he was, though he didn't have regard for a lot of things, but you see that he was humble. But when I mean humble there, I mean, he didn't expect himself to be king.
He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is another one of the two. Not the same. Kingship should be with Judah. The people revolted that wanted the king and other nations. So God gave them what they wanted, and he gave them Benjamin. That's God's word. The other should be Judah. Did you see that? He stepped out on the back of Judah. What we're following. So, the Benjamin. So, Benjamin was the least. The king for them. Right?
Now that is man's own desire. Permission. Okay. So now, here they are. Verses 8. And they tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. Samuel said they should wait 7 days. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. People were now trying to, what is happening? So they scattered from him. And Saul said, bring either a burnt offering to me, and a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. Did you see that? And it came to pass, as soon as he made the end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he may salute him. As soon as he was done,
Samuel came. Just little patience. When you go, you need Samuel that you can king. This is that. I'm king. I can do it. Not like that. I'm king. You know, I'm king. I can do it also. Position. Before then, he lost he was looking for an option, and he went to look for his spear. This is that Samuel. When you look for Samuel, yes, but that talks about other. If we go there, we will get to uncover some the nonchalant attitude, because how can you be in Israel? You don't know Samuel as a prophet. You know that looks like a king that looking for his spear.
Well, that's not what we are discussing today. Anyway, but that's funny. You met your pastor in church.
You should have not even been in church.
Right? So he was asking Samuel for this year. Why? Was he looking for what?
For what? What? Samuel gave him instruction. Did he follow the instruction or not? But now he's done king. He went to go. He went to offer his sacrifice himself. He wasn't supposed to. At all, he wasn't supposed to. That is the rest of the priestly office. Did that? And he went to do it.
I don't know what Samuel said. And it came to pass. He went to salute him. And Samuel said, what have thou done? And saw, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not. When the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore therefore said I, the Philistines will come down to me in Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, and thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the captain of his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord has commanded thee. And Samuel rose and got him up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, 600 men. Amen. Go to chapter 16. Now, they went for a war at, they invaded the Amalekites. Right? They invaded the Amalekites. And they were told to destroy everything in Amalek. But when they went, they remained, they didn't kill everybody. Amen? They didn't destroy everything in Amalek. Rather, Saul kept himself the king of the Amalekites, Agag, and some of the fat animals. He kept them for himself. Amen. Amen. Verse 10. And it came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, is the same me that has set up Saul to be king. But he's turned back from following me, and I've not performed my commandment, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. What verse 10? Came the word of the Lord. Did you see that? Did you see that? Okay, we were looking at that on Sunday, so no problem. So I just needed to have that somewhere. And when Samuel rose to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set himself a place. And now rush down to 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, behold, blessed thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, I brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest will utterly destroy. You see, he forgot and a simple instruction, destroy all. And Samuel said unto Saul, speak, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, stay up. And Samuel said, when thou was little in your own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Is it that? It is. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, I have gone the way of the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalekites, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil of the sheep and oxen, of the chief of the things which should be utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, and iniquity, and idolatry, because the Lord has rejected the words of, because thou hast rejected the words of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me. What is? And turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. As I said, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. As I turned about to go, and he laid upon his theatre of his mantle, and went, and it went. Do you see that? Hell it is!
Why did you call me? He desecrated comfort. He obeyed the voice of the Lord, whether the voice of the Lord is going down. Some people are like that. Some people are like that.
They walk in dishonor. They abuse access because they now have money. Because they now have position. Because they are now in one office, one political office or the other. They begin to abuse access.
No, you don't do that. How you do? Amen. Amen. You don't do that.
That is abuse of access. So don't allow.
Let me put it this way. Don't allow circumstances of life make you destroy. Don't allow
it. I'm putting it in the right way.
Don't allow circumstances of life make you destroy. Don't allow it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Follow is a choice. Follow is a choice.
I want to walk in front. To allow informations, don't allow circumstances, the work, positions, money, affluence, information, social media make you discuss.
Trends make you discuss. You must see people. I close here.
You must see people in their office. You must see people the way God sees them. Learn to respect people. Learn to respect.
Learn to respect.
The fact that the world has its culture, or they are paid the same money now, let me see that. You are cultured from God's word. Amen. Amen. We are trained to respect identity. We are trained to honor people. Come here, everybody. Go home. Go home. Glory to God. That's trained to honor people.
So, what are we talking about? Information. Things that will make you discover people. Abuse people. Come here, everybody.
Money. Money, this honor, Judas. Look at Judas. For 30 shekels. Money, no matter the amount. This money, me and my family and my generation will never go broke. Because of that, you now sell out your friends.
Now sell out. He sold out Jesus. You know that was what Judas did. He sold out Jesus. But Jesus came, I mean, when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, friend, what have I done? What have you done? Friend, all his friends came to Jesus and he sold Jesus for money. They are
beasts.
I think that he just stole the city. But he stole the opposition. There was a time like that. He had a friend. They had a fallout. The man and his friend had a fallout. And the fallout was made up of the thing. And then, now I have to meet a senior pastor. Who doesn't like his friend? They had a fallout. But the senior pastor doesn't like his friend. The senior pastor. An elderly pastor. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take you to African country. I'll give you this connection. This is in the 90s. Give this connection. You start teaching in this country and that country and that country. You know, you can see places, nations. And truly, the pastor wasn't just saying the pastor had connection. That's why they want to pastor you. He said, the pastor had that connection.
Give this.
And then the person will open God's fellowship because it doesn't like that thing. And that person will know that this thing is about holy life. Yeah? And they know just on this topic,
this Sunday, I should pray, just say, I have nothing to do with this. Just like this, I have nothing to do with this thing of holy life. We are no longer friends. You know, it was an easy way out. And then, I will now have affluence, influence to the nations of the world. Next place, this thing will be seen, will be in US, Canada, just preaching the word. People are just sowing seeds. But Pastor Shegu said, he stood and he told himself, I can't do that myself. His sin is not known as a den. His sin is not known anywhere in the world.
He just knows that inside he could do one time and show the people how to do it. You get it. But I do not tell us.
If this is the option you are giving me,
and I will sell out my friends. They have, you know what they are? Is this not Africa? Shebi, we don't fight here. We might just end up. No. Right? Said, I will not sell out my friends. It's like, you can give me access. Say, sir, keep your access. If me getting your access will mean I have to sell my friends, take your access.
But let me tell you something.
God will open that door.
Let it say,
God will open that door. But I wouldn't sell my friend to get into that door.
You know what is happening? About heaven preaching there every year. The door opens. You get it. Then take care of the door open. When you go preaching in all those countries, I wanted to give him the access to if he had sold out. Why? Because of this. God of the new heart. The culture we have in St. Fabian Church is the culture we have in God's Word. Hallelujah. We are not sellouts. Hallelujah. I won't sell out my friend. I won't sell out my church, the fellow brother. I won't sell out the fellow sister. I won't sell out my pastor. I won't sell out my congregation. I won't sell out. I'm not a sellout. Hallelujah. I will sell out relationships. No, I won't. I stay true and true. Amen. I will have these access. I keep access.
I keep access with reverence. I keep access with sacredness. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Learn something.